Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Here we go. High game. Wally has it. Out front for Wright. Steps into a three for the win. It's already good. Kevin Durant rises, reigns, and grades the 28 footer. The Sonics win in Atlanta. You gotta love it.
Goodness, boy, you couldn't get there in time on that. Durant,
look at that.
You gotta be kidding me. Achieving cult status right now in Dallas after his last two performances. Durant, oh! Kevin Durant throws it down. My goodness, Kevin Durant says to Brendan Haywood, excuse me, I got an appointment with the ref.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at NJH09. And sitting beside tonight is Nolan Hay. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And we have a live show tonight together, so it's pretty exciting. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of free agency. It's fight week in the UFC and the beginning of a lot of fights this month, so pretty excited to get going here tonight.
Yeah, no, it's not often we get to do this, and usually they go a little smoother than our other shows. So, let's get this started.
Yeah, definitely we don't have to worry about talking over the phone, so.
Right, yeah, or any of those phone problems, unless, of course, the one we are talking on, something happens there, but I think we're good.
Yeah,
so. All right, I guess we got to go over these last week's pick, get that out of the way, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. You have them all written down here because apparently I lost all mine.
Yeah,
so.
All right. Well, we were, of course, in the middle of the Euros still. Starting to heat up, getting pretty close to the end here.
Down the
had some exciting matches. We picked, I guess we can get the not-so-exciting ones out of the way. AKA the ones that I picked wrong. France and Iceland. Unfortunately, Iceland's magic run came to an end. France kind of took it to them, 5-2.
Yeah, it came to an end pretty quickly too. It was 1-0, 13 minutes in, I believe, and then it turned to 2-0, about 25 minutes in, and Iceland still had a chance at that point. But then they just hit two more goals within 3-minute period, and it was over. It was 4-0 at the half, and Iceland did get a couple goals, kind of salvage a little bit. But did you see the huge reaction they got when they got back to their homeland?
Oh no, yeah, they're definitely appreciated. There was obviously after the victory over England, there was the great celebration at the end. With them and their fans, there's obviously a lot of pride there. I know we talked about last week. There's a lot of nationalism, a lot of national pride that goes along with these tournaments and sports. And when we get together for like the Olympics and stuff like that, and that's just really awesome to see.
Yeah, you know where they don't do that?
Where?
In America.
What for a soccer team?
Exactly.
Have they had a soccer team worth that?
I mean, I would say the run that we had this year in Copa America is by far further than anyone expected them to go.
Sure, but I mean Iceland. There's different
Iceland,
expectations.
Yeah.
I understand that America isn't a powerhouse in soccer around the world, obviously, but that has more to say about. Just American sports in general than that. But I don't know. I just really feel that even though America isn't super into soccer, they're going to only accept something like some sort of finals appearance in something like Copa America or winning Copa America. That's something that you can see United States people getting really excited about. It sucks to say, but I mean, yeah, if they were a little more successful in the world, maybe the sport would be a little more popular here at home.
Well, I think we're making way. I think we have quite a ways to go before we're competing with teams like Argentina and things like that. But I don't know. I just think that if you get behind them more, maybe that'll want more people to come out and play soccer and things like that. And I also understand it's much different in Iceland because, I mean, we drive 40 minutes north here.
Sure, yeah.
And Kansas City has triple the population and the whole country
right.
of Iceland.
Right,
so.
And you've also got one of the nicer soccer stadiums in the country here. I mean, you can mm-hmm. in this area, you can go in America, you can find a place that's a good soccer town, but
yeah.
But it's just, yeah, it just hasn't gotten that national point yet.
Yeah, it's a collection.
And I also think that there's kind of they just don't have that star power, at least definitely not right now.
No.
I mean, they've had guys in the past, but they definitely haven't had that transcendent world-class, in the literal sense of the term, athlete in soccer. They haven't had that guy, but, I mean, it's entirely possible that they could have had that guy if he's just playing basketball or he's playing football.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I don't know if USA Soccer will ever have that guy, have a guy like Messi or Ronaldo or Neymar,
right.
To name a few. But I think that they could have a collection of good guys, be more like a France team who, I mean, I don't really know, but I've never really heard of them having that one guy who's the best player in the world, but they have a collection of really good players.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think that's about what
a man can
expect.
And, that's definitely one guy can't do it alone. I mean, Ronaldo and Messi have kind of shown that on their national teams. It's just, I think you got to get more athletes to go ahead, get comfortable.
Had to kick my shoes off.
Stay a while. But I think that if they can get some more national success, then maybe you got more guys coming up, and you can continue that stream of athletes and build a nice core to build around and compete with these national powers in soccer.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think we're on the right track, but I think it's going to take a little longer than what people were hoping when they hired Jurgen Klinsmann.
Right.
But I think in the next couple World Cups, I know that's 8-12 years, but I think that USA will be a team to watch out for.
That's another one for the long-term hot take.
Yeah, that's my hot take. 12 years from now, guys, just remember.
Yep.
Remember, USA Soccer. USA Soccer.
Episode 347 of Hot Take. USA wins World Cup. All right. We totally got off topic there, but... I guess go to the next one. Since we got France, Iceland out of the way, let's go to Wales and Belgium. I was not expecting this at all, but I didn't really get a chance to see what happened. Wales actually won 3-1. Do you have any idea what happened there?
Yeah, basically Belgium came out, went up 1-0 early, looked good for Belgium, but Wales came back and tied it. I'd say 10-15 minutes after Belgium scored their goal, and ended up tacking on two more.
And then, yeah, it was just all Wales.
Late in the game. They tacked one on in about the 60th or 70th minute, and then they got one in the 80th minute or so, and that was a wrap. And Wales just outplayed them in every way, and we've been talking about Iceland and the run that they've been having, but this is a surprise what Wales is doing.
Definitely a dark horse, but yeah, you can't count them out.
And Gareth Bell, one of the best players in the world right now.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I mean, you've already got England out. That was kind of a big story with them. With them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with Iceland's kind of crazy run, yeah, Wales kind of snuck in there, but they're right there. They're going to play Portugal. In the semis, so which we might as well get to Portugal and Poland. They were 1-1 after full time and extra time, and so they had to go to penalties, and Portugal ended up pulling that out 5-3.
Yeah, I think that was the one Euro match I did not catch. I think I caught the penalty kicks, but other than that, I do know a lot of people were talking about it kind of being a slower game. It's kind of more of a tactical game. Portugal is still holding on barely. They're going, I think, two or three matches now by penalty kicks.
Right.
In the Euros. So Ronaldo going for that international title.
I mean, yeah, no, it'd definitely be impressive, especially, yeah, like you said, in this way of not exactly winning games in the traditional sense. But I mean, it is unfortunate. I know a lot of diehard soccer fans don't necessarily love penalty kicks. But I mean, if you get to a certain point, you got to decide a winner somehow. You can't just
play 250 minutes.
Right. I mean, and
someone scored.
Yeah, and I mean, these games are so,
especially with three subs.
Right. And these games are so just exhaustive and you know, tough to play that it's not like you can play a series or anything. So there's got to be a way to decide the game. And I'm sorry, penalty kicks is probably. I mean,
they're exciting.
Yeah, they're definitely exciting. The tension is always insanely high, whether you're a diehard fan or you never watched it before. But yeah, no, there's definitely that's probably the best thing that can happen for somebody watching the first soccer game is to probably catch it towards the end and then watch extra time and then watch penalty kicks, because it's definitely drama, sports drama in the true and just that the. Its truest sense. It's, you know, it's game seven. It's bottom of the ninth, all that, but definitely great.
Yeah. I mean, an example of that is our next game, which was Italy and Germany. And I wouldn't consider myself a diehard soccer fan. I'm a casual soccer fan.
Yeah.
But I caught those penalty kicks, and they had my heart racing a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So
especially, yeah, when you've just got guys making them over and over again.
I'd hate to be a goalie, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely the toughest job in the world.
You have to hope you guessed right.
It's easy. Yeah, it's easy to watch him and say that, well, how is he jumping the wrong way? I mean, these guys are the best in the world at trying to deceive you and where they're going to kick it. And I don't envy the
No,
goalies at all.
not a little bit.
All right. Well, I guess, is there anything else? Oh, yeah, we got the College World Series, of course, wrapped up.
Yeah, which we both thought it was cheating because Arizona had won the first
game. Right. I mean, you know, probably a little premature hot pick there on our part. But, yeah, Coastal Carolina came back, won game two. And then
held on
in game three. They got up, it was either 3-0 or 3-1. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just held on there towards the end. Arizona was able to get a run across in the ninth and had an opportunity to win it. Unfortunately, he struck out and didn't happen. He had his pitch. I felt like he didn't swing at it on 2-0. It was right down the middle, I felt like, but, you know. Unfortunately, the next two pitches were a lot better. Well, unfortunately for him, unfortunately for Coastal Carolina, the next two pitches were a lot better. And or next two strikes, anyway. And, yeah, that was Coastal Carolina with an improbable run. It's always fun to see, you know, the underdog win, especially in a place like Omaha in the College World Series.
First championship by Coastal Carolina in any sport, too.
It's just amazing.
So,
gotta love it.
I mean, it's always a good story. And there's only one active player. I think he just got sent down to the minors from Coastal Carolina.
Right. Yeah,
but Tyler Motter and for the Tampa Bay Rays. So.
Oh, well, you better believe a couple of these guys are going to get looks now. I think.
Yeah.
Actually, to be honest, they've all probably gotten a lot of looks just by playing deep into the tournament as they have.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. Hopefully, some careers get kickstarted there.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Someone was talking about it. Coastal Carolina is a sleeping giant in baseball with the talent they have around, and hey, maybe they weren't lying.
Hey, no, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, you get a right coach in there who can put a decent lineup together and get these guys to play together. Then, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I guess that wrapped up our picks from last week. I was 3-2, and you ended up 2-3. So. Your 5-day lead's down to 4 now. I'm coming for you.
All right.
I think this happened last time, and then you just blew me out the rest of the way.
Right.
Hope that doesn't happen.
Right.
Well, yeah, we've got a bunch of picks to make, so.
Yeah, 8 tonight, so I can make or break me.
Okay, well, it's inevitable. We're going to have to talk about it sooner or later. So I guess let's get to it. Kevin Durant, has informed the Warriors he intends to sign with them.
I pretty much broke the internet yesterday, I would say.
Yeah, no, I woke up to the text from you and then immediately opened Twitter and just Kevin Durant.
Yep, he was the talk of the league on 4th of July. Talk of the world, really.
I mean, obviously, it's definitely changes the landscape of the entire NBA. Whereas you had probably three or four teams, depending on
depending on your argument.
Then yeah, you could say there's probably three or four teams that were legitimate title contenders from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Now it looks more like maybe two.
Yeah.
It
could be the greatest. The greatest lineup in NBA history, and
yeah.
Just saying that is something when we've had teams like the Showtime Lakers. We've had Celtics team that have won 10 of 11 championships.
Right.
We've had, we've had the Heatles. We've had
you've got
Kobe
and
Shaq.
This is just the latest iteration of the super team. I mean, it was bound to escalate from a big three, wasn't it? I mean, eventually. the Warriors kind of made a perfect storm. They drafted really well. That's kind of an understatement in itself. I mean, they nailed three draft picks. And one of them was a pick you don't expect anything from. So, I mean, it was kind of a perfect storm, but
mm-hmm.
they were able to also work it out money-wise, or at least they will for the next 2 years, it would seem. It's just hard to imagine.
I just can't get the image of Kevin Durant standing where Harrison Barnes was standing here in the 2016 finals and taking the shots he took and being wide open on those shots.
If that's the case, he's knocking a very high percentage of those down as open as he was.
Yeah, and I mean...
He could have been less open on those and still made it.
I actually saw a stat that he on his three-pointers last year, 40% of them were contested. I don't think he's going to have that problem anymore.
No.
It's going to be a lot easier for him, and I think that's one of the big reasons he was sold on the idea. He would be able to score and get his easier. He's joining the team. Steph Curry, I guess, sent him a text message Saturday night that said, I don't care who wins MVPs. I don't care who's the face of this team. As long as we win championships, that's all I want to do. So, I mean, those are some big words from a two-time defending NBA MVP. And if that's true, that's a scary thought, because if they're all in on this idea, and those four are willing to take less money over these next few years because KD and Steph will be off books next year, then they'll have to try and get Klay and Draymond the year after that. So, if they all buy in, we could see the NBA owned by the team from the Bay for the next four seasons or so.
Yeah.
Also, one of my biggest things with Kevin Durant his whole career in OKC was they never, never put enough shooting around him. Because
right.
I always believed if Kevin Durant had shooters he could kick out to that would drain threes, he would have a title by now. Even if he didn't have Russell Westbrook, I think he's a good enough player to at least lead a team to more than one finals appearance that he's had. And I just don't think they've had enough firepower out on the three-point perimeter. I mean, just look at the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors outscored them about 15-4 every game, I would say, on average, except for the two games in OKC.
Right.
But other than that, I think he felt that it was time. He didn't owe the city anything. None of those players owe the youth anything.
Right.
I don't know why fans think that they owe them something.
because they really don't. You should just be privileged of having such a great superstar in your city. I know if Kansas City had an NBA team, I would just cherish them having a team. I only care if they
right.
won six games.
Yeah.
It would just be great to be able to go to a game. And OKC was blessed from day one having two superstars on their team.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's all coming undone now, but it happens. And that's free agency. That's what the NBA opened it up to in 1984. And
right. No, but I mean, like you're talking about the Warriors, if they're really going to be this selfless, I mean, obviously they kind of show that with the way they play. They always seem to want to make that extra pass. When Draymond Green's playing at his most efficient, the ball's getting distributed. Everybody's scoring. Shooters are everywhere. There's always an open guy. There's no doubt that Kevin. There shouldn't be any doubt that Kevin Durant should be able to just step right into that lineup and into that system and work and for it to work and yeah for them to just blow teams away offensively.
I think Golden State is the perfect team for Kevin Durant. Being surrounded by the shooters and the ball movement, I think that's what he has needed his whole career. He didn't really get that in OKC. Like I said, they didn't have the shooters. They do have some low post threats now, but Russell Westbrook also, they were both ball dominant guys, and they went into ISO a lot, and that's not. They played hero ball a lot, and it made it hard to get shots for each one of them. And I think he's going to get a lot easier shots. I know a lot of people say he tucked his tail and ran, or it was a weak move. But if he wants to win, he made the right move.
Right. No. Yeah. I don't blame him for making the move. If the ultimate goal is rings. That's what everybody says. Everybody wants championships. You know, they want to go down as the best, and you know, with titles, and that's fine. But the thing that is kind of strange is how much he has talked on wanting to stay and not wanting to leave, and people bring up old tweets and stuff like that about. Making fun of LeBron or complaining about it or whatever, and yeah, that's fine. People can change their minds. It does seem a little strange, but I mean, in different times, people have different intentions.
He was 21 years old,
right? I mean, and over the years, you know, he's he probably can say things like, "I can't imagine being anywhere else," because he probably can't. But, I mean, you know, once the opportunity actually presents itself, once you can actually go meet with these other teams and these other people and see, like, wow, I've been working for these people basically my entire career. And, yeah, this seems like it could be a nice change of pace. And ultimately I want to be at the top of my profession. So this is providing the best way to do that. And, yeah, I didn't want him to do it, but you definitely can't blame him.
And he's 28 years old. We have to think prime Kevin Durant is only 3-4 seasons left. I mean,
he is a very prime, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the top of his game.
Right.
If he ends his career with no titles, he's going to get just as ridiculed as making this move. But at the end of his career, if he has 3 or 2 rings or however many they end up getting, if they do get one, But people are going to forget about this.
No, I mean, people talk about, oh, you're ruining your legacy. You're throwing it away by leaving, by going to Golden State. But it doesn't matter. Like, will he be respected more by everybody if he stays in Oklahoma City and never wins a title? Or if he goes to Golden State and wins 2, 3? I mean, maybe, you know. Exactly. But you're thinking 2 rings is a solid, like, that could totally happen. So, you know, if he can say, yeah, let me go get 2 and get them out of the way, and then, you know, I can worry about and do what LeBron's doing, starting handing out favors to everybody like this Cleveland and you know, gonna start go play with his friends, but which I'm sorry, that's where I wanna talk about next is who's the next team then? Everybody's talking about how LeBron's reacting, but I mean, it really doesn't, obviously the
competition to beat this has beat this team has to start with LeBron.
It comes it gets really weird to me because on one hand, I think if the Warriors win the title this year, I don't think Kevin Durant goes. I think them losing opened the door. I talked about it a couple episodes ago. I think that opened the door for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And also gave reasons why I don't think it hurts his legacy because he can be that piece that turns that team into a dynasty. But I also think that the Cavs winning it hurts forming this friends team because I said it all year that if the Cavs didn't win it, they'd look at trading Kyrie for Chris Paul over the summer. Well, Kyrie played out of his mind in a few of those games. And he's 22 years old. I don't see that happening now. So I don't know how they make it work. Yeah, they can try and get Dwayne Wade this year, maybe trade for Melo somehow, but I don't know how that works or how that's going to work because I don't think LeBron's going to leave. I think LeBron's going to try and get people to come to him. But I think if there is another team like this, I think it's going to be those four. I think it's going to be Melo, Wade, LeBron, and Chris Paul. And I could see it. I could see it.
See that to me, that's not good enough. Like you need Kyrie to be. If you're going to keep Kyrie, you need to keep Kyrie. You need to have Kyrie or somebody at least on his talent level. Or you need to find a way to move heaven and earth to get Russell Westbrook. You need the rest of the top 10 players in the NBA because the Warriors have four of them.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I don't know. I don't know what you do there because I don't think the big three of LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love are going to be good enough.
No, that's definitely not. Kevin Love's got to go.
But then you have to find a trade partner. Who do you find? Maybe you can get him to the Knicks for Melo. I don't think so with all the moves the Knicks made this year. I don't know what they do. I don't know what you can do at this point. We'll have to see. I think the next super team,
we just got away from Minnesota.
Yeah, it's Minnesota. We need them to develop. And that'll be starting to get to an aging Warriors team. And, hey, maybe.
Yeah, that's the hope. You hope that maybe LeBron pulls one more miracle and interrupts a three-peat. and then hopefully by then, the Timberwolves have the two best players in the NBA.
I don't know about that.
Maybe, okay. But maybe, you know, top three center and...
Oh, Carl Anthony Towns could be the best player in the NBA.
Right. But, I mean, you know, then you... But, yeah, if Andrew Wiggins can...
Yeah. Or Zach LaVine or Chris Dunn or any of those guys.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah, if that can form some sort of core, if one of those other guys can hit like the other two are supposed to.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we got to wait for. I don't know what else you can do. There's no free agent. Maybe Wade, but other than that. I don't know what you can do. I think the Timberwolves have a real shot of being really good and being the next OKC of having those three young guys like Harden, Durant, and Westbrook did and making noise and making a surprising finals run. Maybe we put the Warriors in this at that point. But I think we have a ways to go for that, and I think we're going to see the Warriors at least for the next 2 years in the NBA Finals, if not winning them.
Yeah, no, it's going to be – it's the Warriors League for the time being.
Yeah, and now it's just going to be interesting to see what the Thunder do with Russell Westbrook because
right.
They came out and said that his if he didn't sign extension that they were going to start shopping him, and – I don't know what value is good enough to get in return. That's also why I think that the Thunder never even took trade talks for Kevin Durant, because what did you possibly get for talent level back for that guy? You just have to hope that he resigns. That's what you have to do in that situation. You can't trade him And I kind of think that's the same way with Russell Westbrook. I think they made a good trade with Ibaka getting Oladipo, and they have three young bigs to kind of help them out. I don't think they would be a bottom dweller, but they're also not a playoff team in that case.
Right. No. Yeah. Oklahoma City. I mean, with Russell Westbrook, at best, it's probably a 7-8 seed in the West. And that just means you're getting ran over by the Warriors in the first round. So,
yeah.
It's unfortunate for them. I don't know. I feel like you just try and get as many picks as possible
and hope
for Russell Westbrook. And yeah, and just try and hope that you still got that drafting power and that you can, you know, continue to find guys like Steven Adams and James Harden that you can, you know, guys that didn't have a ton of expectations, but you can build a core around.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's going to be hard to trade him.
Yeah.
If I'm the Lakers, I offer them whatever they want, as long as it doesn't include Brandon Ingram. I offer them whatever they want.
Yeah.
And see where it goes from there. Maybe you can get D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and a bunch of picks.
Right, yeah.
That might be your best option.
Yeah.
We talked about the Timberwolves, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and a bunch of picks for him.
Right, no, yeah. If you're the Thunder, it doesn't do you any good to keep him. You're just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, but then you also have to worry if you're a team, is he going to sign an extension with you? Because if you are the Timberwolves, it's probably not going to come back to you, so I don't think you would make that trade.
Not unless you really think you can convince them that this core is going to be ready sooner than that these other guys are going to be ready sooner than they probably should be. But
I just think if he leaves, he's going to go somewhere with some limelight.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. I mean, the popular rumor's always been the Lakers, and
yeah,
I mean,
Knicks have room.
I don't know. I still just not
Chris
crazy.
Stapp,
crazy.
He loves Porzingis.
I mean, the Knicks. Yeah, the Knicks. That'd be interesting. Yeah, there's.
You still have Melo that can hit you some jumpers and get his own buckets on occasion.
Right.
That's a formidable team.
Yeah, no, definitely. I like that better than the Lakers. The Lakers just don't really
excite
me with anything that they've been doing.
No, I think the Lakers with Russell Westbrook maybe puts them in the 8th seed, maybe. But other than that, I don't think they're over the top. They'd have to hope for another free agent. But hey, if you have Russell West, people might want to come play with him.
Right. No. Yeah. Exactly. If you can, if you've got him, plus you're a couple young guys that you like, then.
Yeah, and he's from L.A. He played at UCLA.
Right.
He's huge in the fashion industry.
Very well documented.
I think L.A. would be a great fit for him. But maybe the Clippers.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that, to me, I guess it just seems too perfect. It seems like, I don't know, maybe – he. I don't know if he's that kind of person that seems like if everybody says it, then I'm not going to do it. But
I mean, that's true too.
I could totally see that, but then again, you know, I could also see him being like, why not?
Right. Maybe he just plays with Hassan Whiteside.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Maybe Pat Riley coaches him into taking his talents to South Beach. All right. Okay. Well, we should talk about a little other free agency.
Yeah, let's do it. These contracts, man.
Yeah, there are a lot of money going around. The guys that I didn't think I'd be seeing that big of numbers beside their names.
Yeah.
But definitely, obviously, the revenue's gone up and salary caps have gone up, so teams are going to spend that money.
Yeah, it's really weird seeing these numbers. They're baseball numbers. They're ridiculous. But
which one's most ridiculous, you think?
Timofey Mozgov.
All right, without a doubt.
4 years, $64 million. That's about $10 million per point he scored in the finals.
Yeah.
Per minute, something like that. So.
Yep. Well,
that's not a very good value.
No, not at all. He was kind of ghost there towards the end of that finals.
Yeah. Not play a lot.
Didn't see him a whole lot. No. I wonder why that was.
Yeah. But hey, the Lakers needed a rim protecting big. They didn't have one. They got one that they're hoping does. We'll be seeing them on some getting dunked on and some highlights.
The thing that's the worst about it, I would think, is mostly that they just did it so quick.
Mm-hmm.
They just jumped right out there and said, "Here, take all this money."
Yeah,
like they didn't wait for any other centers to sign. They didn't. I don't know. I figured you could have got him a lot. Like that tweet I showed you that said him and Mitch Kupchak sat down and he said, Lavgaard said, "I want $16 million." And he said, "A year, okay." And he said, "Oh yeah, right, a year." Like,
yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah, no, I also Amin El-Hassan on ESPN was he actually made me laugh a little bit because he was like, "So you're sitting there with him and." And then, like, topping 54, 44, he was just, "No, not taking less than 64. Is that how negotiations
64, I walk.
Yeah. Bad value. The best value, I thought, though, was the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
actually.
All the Lakers?
Yeah, and getting Jordan Clarkson for 4 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
Great sixth man. He's a big guard. He can score for you. He can get his own shot. And you got him for the next 4 years. He's, what, 23 years old?
Right.
Lakers need youth, and they got their man.
Definitely, yeah, I can't agree with that.
And seeing $50 million is,
right,
so minuscule to these other numbers.
Right, definitely. It was also the most he could make, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's only been in – it was off his rookie contract.
Right. I guess I wouldn't be super crazy about, you know, paying him the maximum you can pay him, but he's not a bad piece to have.
Yeah, I think he also opens up future trade possibilities.
Right, yeah. Yeah. He can definitely be player to be named later kind of deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I thought that was a really good value, and I thought Nick Batum coming back with the Hornets was good for the Hornets.
Yeah.
Paid him a lot, but next year that's not going to look like that much. So.
Right. Another thing, the Lakers also brought in Luol Deng, 4 years,
mm-hmm.
$72 million. I thought that actually made some sense for them.
Yeah. If I'm the Lakers, you have Luke Walton now,
right.
You're going to kind of think that they're going to be out and running.
Mm-hmm.
Luol Deng's never really played in an offense like that, so it's going to be interesting to see. I love the veteran presence that he's going to bring to all the young guys.
Definitely.
But it'll be interesting to see how he plays at a fast pace. And that's also why I disliked Mozgov signing so much, because I think he's big that can run the floor.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah, but
we might actually see Tariq Black more than we see Timothy Mozgov.
Right. Mike Conley, I guess we got to talk about it. This is the richest NBA contract in history. And it's just Mike Conley. I mean, that's not trying to say that in a bad way, but you know, Mike Conley's not a world beater, I would guess. So, or venture to say, but but that's just kind of how this has worked out with mm-hmm. with the expanding salary cap and you know him getting a max deal. I don't think Memphis actually ended up spending a lot of money, but I kind of like what they did. I think you've got to keep Mike Conley. You can't let him walk.
Exactly. I think the Grizzlies did what they had to do.
Yeah.
If they want to remain going to the playoffs, because if you lose Conley, then you're shipping out Gasol, you're shipping out Randolph, you're completely overhauling your team.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought that I thought about him. Anthony Davis signed an extension last year for mm-hmm. $127 million, which was a huge number at that time.
Right.
And over the next 5 years, Anthony Davis is 23, Mike Conley is 29, 30. Over the next 5 years, Mike Conley is going to be making about $10 million more than Anthony Davis.
Right. And I've seen all sorts of things comparing what Mike Conley's about to make. And it does. It kind of sucks. Guys that have signed new deals in the last 3 years seem to have kind of gotten shafted.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it worked. It's all in the timing. I mean, I'm sure
Anthony Davis could have waited.
I'm sure Cam Newton wishes he could have came out a little sooner. it's just, you know, that's just kind of the break sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree. But Anthony Davis could have waited a year.
Sure, yeah, exactly. that's the other thing that kind of sucks with NBA contracts is you've always got that injury,
mm-hmm.
That concern or the injury, the possibility of it lingering over your head. I mean, you want that security.
Yeah.
Might as well go get that money when you can.
Yeah, and this huge money bump and also Steph Curry's ankles are what made it possible for Kevin Durant to come to the Warriors and
right.
join all
yeah.
of them.
Right, exactly. And that's the other thing. I mean, now you've got Kevin Durant. If one guy goes down, you've still got probably the best team in the West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And all they had to do was ship Andrew Bogut to the Mavs and not bring back Harrison Barnes. And
yep.
it was plenty of
yep.
room for Kevin Durant.
All,
so.
Good. All right, well, yeah, we're starting to run out of time, so
yeah.
we should get these picks off. We didn't really get to talk about UFC.
Do it.
All right, so Germany, France.
Taking France here. They're the host nation, and I'm rolling with them.
All right, well, I'm going to go with history and say that Germany is going to beat France because that's what Germany does.
You're not wrong.
All right, Portugal, Wales.
I'm actually going to go Wales here.
Yeah.
I think what Ronaldo is his international play is – It's gonna suffer yet again.
Yeah, no, I just don't think Portugal can maintain it, and Wales is looking good, so I've got to roll with them.
Yep, and I guess that brings us to our UFC fight week.
Right.
Kicking off the week is Thursday at 9 on Fight Pass. It's the first title fight ever to be on Fight Pass. It's Rafael Dos Anjos, the champion, versus Eddie Alvarez. I'm picking Dos Anjos by unanimous decision here.
Also going to go with Dos Anjos.
All right. And then the next night, we have the Ultimate Fighter 23. It's hard to believe there's 23 of those already.
Wow.
The finale, there's going to be a title fight with Joanna Jay, not pronouncing that last name, the champion,
yeah.
versus Claudia Gadella, women's strawweight title. I'm going Joanna with fourth round TKO.
Cool. Wow. You know what? I'm also going to take Joanna, and let's make it the third round.
All right. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the big one. UFC 200 is on Saturday. Stack card. You could take the fights on the prelims on Fight Pass and put them on the main card on any other card.
Wow.
But not UFC 200.
No, yeah.
Huge card. On the second pay-per-view fight, it's a title fight.
Yep.
For the interim featherweight championship, because, of course, Conor McGregor gets to do whatever he wants, so we're going to get Jose Aldo versus
right.
Frankie Edgar. I think Jose Aldo gets his at least the interim title back by unanimous decision.
Yeah, give me Aldo. He's got another date with
the old Connie.
Yeah. Connie?
Yep.
All right.
Well, that brings us to the next fight, which is for the women's bantamweight championship, the champion Misha Tate against Amanda Nunes. I'm actually going to take Amanda Nunes here by split decision.
All right. Wow. I'm going to actually take Misha Tate, the champion, by unanimous.
All right. Wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I just think sometimes when newly crowned champions come in, have a letdown.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
That brings us to a co-main, which is actually not a title fight, but
yeah,
has Brock Lesnar in it.
Of course.
The return of Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt. I'm going Hunt via first round KO.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. I don't expect Brock to last more than 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, me either. His last fight with Solomon, he got knocked out by Alistair Overeem. So
yeah.
I can't imagine 4 years. Really helped him out by taking a shot. So, let's see. And that brings us to the main event, which is for the lightweight championship. Champion Dan McCormier, interim champion John Jones. Going Jones via third round submission.
Gotta go Bones, yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Well, you got a hot take this week?
I don't. I got a hot tweet, but it's going to take too long to explain. Do you got anything?
Yeah, I'll give my hot tweet here. It was actually from a guy named Camp Lowe. Back in December 8, 2013, he tweeted, "Had a dream KD went to the Warriors in 2016, LOL." He also is so good. That was his last tweet he's ever tweeted.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's just ridiculous. I feel like when all that started, he just started deleting tweets.
I don't know what happened.
Make this one